he said that you have a real problem with the conservatives, which is no news to you. He says you're going to wind up without any friends because you can't win the liberals anyway. And the conservatives are just...
I mean, part of his problem, of course, is he's in a very, very poor position in California, you know, because all his standing has gone down and so forth and so on. So he's...
I said to him...
He pays no attention to the polls or anything else, does he?
No. So I said to him, look, and he, one suggestion he has, which I don't think is bad, he says, you are so good in talking to small groups. If you could get some of these conservative groups in for stack dinners and give them a little rundown on the international situation. Well, I really let it happen on the international situation. I went through the Jordan crisis, Thien Phoi, Cambodia, Laos. I said, how can you say a liberal doesn't make a difference? We wouldn't have MERS. We wouldn't have ABM. We wouldn't have
Thien Phoi.
We wouldn't have had Amchicha. We wouldn't have had Laos. We wouldn't have had Thien Phoi. We wouldn't have... He said, God, if somebody would only tell this to these groups.
You told him.
I said, I told
you. You told them by the hours in there, haven't you?
That's right. And we wouldn't have an $80 billion defense budget. We would have given away the store at Seoul. And he said, well, he agrees on foreign policy. It's just not very visible. He then bled about the UN vote. I said, well, but I think I shook him. And then he bled about the State Department. I said, we are aware of it.
What's the matter? They do something else.
Well, he just thinks that the country thinks there's still a bunch of... that he said, you mentioned State Department, people sort of read.
What is he?
But that...
What's your situation?
Well, I think he's a... Actually, I think he's a pretty decent guy.
Well, he's no question. He's frank.
Well, his brains are negligible.
He reads pretty shallow.
He's shallow. He's got no... he's an actor. When he gets a line, he does it very well. He said, hell, people are remembered not for what they do, but for what they say. Can't you find a few good lines? That's really an actor's approach to foreign policy.
He said a lot of good things too. You know damn well.
Well, that too. And he's mostly sore on the domestic. He knows on foreign policy. He says we're doing the right thing. But domestically, he's complaining about two things. He says he agrees with your recent policies, but. What led up to it was how to distinguish from the liberals. Secondly, he says, gave me a long story, which I told him to tell Mitchell, that I had nothing, I didn't even know what he was talking about, Chuck Flanning and his brother handling all the patronage on the West Coast.
Oh, shit.
About the fact that he never gets any out of here, and that you last summer ordered something to Bannerman or some project he's got with AGW.
No, that.
And that hasn't been done yet.
But we have. Let me tell you where it is. It's on this welfare thing. And he wants a deal that's 50% better than the one we gave Rockefeller. But we can't do that. We lose Rockefeller. That's all. He just, he's really very unreasonable. And we got all the way with it. 50% better than Rockefeller's deal. He didn't rock for the moment. This is on AGW.
He didn't tell me what the issue was.
Sure is.
I just listened to his problems, and I told him, yes, we have a disloyal bureaucracy. Well, then he said, why don't you fire them all? I said, we've already got the Senate against us. We've already got the press against us. We'd never get anything done. What you have to judge the president by what he gets done. Now, you tell me, what in foreign policy should we have done? That we are not doing, or what should we not have done? And he said, well, are you going to give away Taiwan in Peking? I said, absolutely not.
We are a problem.
Well.
You know damn well we're not going to do it. You know that. But we've got to be damn careful. His concern is that over a period of time it will happen, and over a period of time it will happen. It's inevitable.
But, yeah, but not through any deal we've made.
Hell no. It's been happening because of it. Well, What would have happened?
If Rockefeller had stayed in, if Rockefeller had gone incompetently.
That's right.
I don't think he had a chance, but he might just have been able to
knock her over. That's right. Can you imagine? The fellow really is a decent guy. But there's everything.
Another idea he had was fire arches, so that the people have a villain.
Oh, shit.
But I disagree.
That's the difficult thing. You do know that. You can fire arches so that people don't. And whatever arches do, he goes out and pisses all over you worse.
Arches is not enough of an issue.
We wouldn't make that much of an issue. They'd say, well, why are you firing that thing? He's an old friend and so forth.
I think firing arches would reflect badly on you. He has not ever identified himself with any policy, so you're not really. You're not throwing anybody to the conservative.
The problem is that he isn't known at all. That's what Reagan disagreed on. Who the hell knows Rogers? He said in the Mideast, and nobody knows who the hell Rogers is. Despite all these stories that you and I read about Rogers doing this and Spain doing this and that,
what
the country doesn't know. The country thinks the China policy, you notice when you walk around, they know goddamn well we didn't. They know it. I mean, all this bullshit, in fact, I was led into it, forced into it, etc. on the vietnamization thing that Laird did. Bullshit. That never going to wash your recruits.
No, they know you did it. There's no question. They know that they're right.
Well, enough of that. I just want to get the feet before I make the
decision. But he's not hostile. He says he's not. He repeated again. He's not going to do any opposition. He's willing to help. He's eager to help.
Can get an ambassador to the court of St. James next year if he won't go.
After the election?
Yeah. We've offered him to be in one.
What does he want?
He can't be in the cabinet. But I don't know. Christ.
Doesn't he want to be senator in 74?
Pitch one side. Have a hell of a bloodlet in either one together.
But I don't think so.
He'd be a lousy, well.
Finch wouldn't be any good.
Nobody is. But Reagan is not going to. I don't think he wants to run for the Senate. No governor of a big state will be happy in the Senate.
That's right.
The Senate is a shitty job.
It's a lousy.
It's better than the House, but it's still crappy.
Yeah.
Unless you're the leader.
It's
so much for that. That's good. Coming back to the other thing, I think we're going to have to get the FLCIO convention.
I think that's right.
And Collins feels it. He said, well, you've got to do it. His Collins view is a rather interesting one. And you see how he set Collins up for this meeting, so you're all set for it.
Very good. Charge.
He will now call for you and Schultz.
Good.
See, I
much better.
I've got it, so we've all got it. But he knows what I mean. Now you there, and I remember, did you hear what I said, that you have really convinced him on the Peterson thing, when I told him Peterson had money, Pierre Paul Schweitzer, and he shouldn't do that, Henry. He doesn't know enough about it. Pierre Paul Schweitzer is a smart son of a bitch. You know, he's against us, huh?
Yeah.
Thank God we've got Pete on the line of fire, and I've taken him completely out of virtue. I told him, I want you to be sure to get it early to keep and Schultz to keep. Oh, you weren't there when we had the meeting. I told Ehrlichman and Schultz I wanted to keep Pete busy as hell, learning to be Secretary of Commerce and to stay out of the financial line.
Okay.
All right. Will you tell them that?
Absolutely.
That's your job. And do what you agree is good for your setup.
Oh, yeah.
Now, second, with regard to this, the second job, let's get this out of the way. I thought of it overnight. Henry, I think the only man for that second job is actually. Planning. I think Flanagan will work with you, Pete's job.
Oh, you mean Pete? Oh, yes.
Because, and let Flanagan do it. Now, otherwise, you know, they'll want to push that fellow, what's his name?
Alan.
Alan up to it. And I don't think Alan will work with him.
Oh, no, well, he's a fellow.
Yeah.
Alan is such a lightweight.
Yeah. That the other thing that Mitchell is pushing is Jurek for the job. Now, Tony Jurek is not big enough for this job. He doesn't know anything about economics. On the other hand, I think Peterson could put Jurek in with Alan. I see no objection to that. Flanagan could. So will you put this in my, I told Mitchell that I'd submit this. I tell you the game I've got playing here. Mitchell sees right through it. I said, what we've got to do is to get Henry in charge of this, but Henry will not have any responsibility for him. Because I don't want people get bogged down in economics, but I said that economics is so tied to politics, we want to do it that way.
But if you tell Flanagan that you want him to take his line from May,
I will.
He'll do it.
I will.
And he's a great fellow.
Incidentally, Amazon turned down one job, and Walter Bader is probably going to turn down the other job, so we're stuck on the NATO things, I told you. And that's the one you're going to follow up on. I don't know now. Maybe it is as wise as going, and it's a thing that you don't think we can settle in the Senate.
Now let me, can we take 24 hours for this?
Yeah, except that I told Roger you're working on it. You were planning on it.
Okay.
So I got to forget it. I like that means, but I just feel we can't go to Cecil anymore than we can go to the other one, because I told Roger you weren't going to take it.
Well, that's why I...
Because if they won,
well, that's,
and sometimes we have to do some things that don't let us take win.
Well, that's what I think. If they'll just get the impression that they can wear you down.
Is there any possibility... can we impose on Dave Kennedy to get him to take this goddamn job? Go back to him.
I would
like to.
Let me have a run at Dave Kennedy.
You take a run and say, look, Dave, we're desperately needed. You were the president's first choice, and you said no. And if they want us careers out over there, and we just need a top five man, and then put in the business about we also need you to work on the economic side. Guys, I don't want some man in here to do that. Would you go there and do it first? And incidentally, with his case, the president would like you to do it with continued membership in the cabinet.
Right.
You will continue as counselor.
But of course, of course. Oh, that was he good.
You will continue membership in the cabinet.
Let me
and tell him we want to upgrade the job and with participation in all NSC meetings that have to do with NATO.
Good.
Now, just take a crack at Kennedy.
I'll take it.
Now, one other one I had in mind. You don't think that, you don't think we could possibly get the Packard to take Japan for a year with the service to his country.
Right.
Or NATO. He wouldn't take NATO with membership. Would he do that? Packard is, I mean, of course, we just assume Larry's talking, but Packard's a wonderful man.
Of course, we can't his country be sure with the. I don't know why he doesn't stay the rest of the term, actually, in his job.
His wife's opposition to foreign policy, I don't know. What is the problem with Packard?
Well, it used to be opposition to foreign policy, but by God,
but can
it should have been diffused by now.
Well, you don't think you want to talk to him?
Now, no, I will want to talk to him.
Try him the rest of the day. Third one is Scranton. Should we make another run at Scranton for NATO?
For NATO, no. That guy is so soft.
Hey, that's my only candidate sign.
I think Scranton is just too soft.
Packard will be fine for NATO. Kennedy's the best man for this
Kennedy
job.
Is the best. I'll sell it to Kennedy. I'm going to leave in a few minutes.
Oh, yeah.
First to New York and then to Cincinnati.
Okay.
I'm meeting in New York with...
That's right.
Well, it's this Hedley Donovan group of senior businessmen. I turned it down. But then so many of the other staff did it. And they came back to me and said, why are you the only McGregor that
they're still talking about the time covered.
Oh, yes, that's definite.
Well, my
that is a very senior group of people, except that I'm going to listen to credit.
Would you put, at least try Dave Kennedy, get him over there and say, Dave, your country needs you. The president has been up on this damn thing. You're his first choice. You have been. We tried a couple of others, and they just aren't going to tell him. We asked the Scranton that the president turned him down, he's turned down Cecil, and he's turned down, put it out the idea that we just haven't got another man to do this job.
I'll do it. I'll do it first thing in the morning.
Fine, tomorrow morning. I'll be sure.
When would you leave for Miami when you go?
Tomorrow.
Because I'm staying overnight. Tad wants to give a reception afterwards, and I'm coming back first thing in the morning. I'll be here at 9:30.
Well, we might have you come to Miami. No, you come here first, and then come to Miami over the weekend if you want. The other thing is, coming back from Reagan, though, it shows you how a man with limited mental capacity simply doesn't know what the crisis is going on before him. He's got to know that on defense, because we know these battles, we fight. Henry, we've been
out. I told him, he said, why don't you fire the bureaucracy? I said, because there are only so many battles we can fight. We take on the bureaucracy now, they're going to lead us to death. Name me one thing that we have done that the bureaucracy made us do.
Well, the bureaucracy has nothing to do with anything.
No, they've made our life harder. They've driven us crazy, but that doesn't affect them.
Kennedy's aversion to us. Incidentally, we're going to try Bill Renshaw, the head of the chemical bank in New York for Japan. He was going to go.
So I'll wait it back in until I hear
that. No, I'm trying to hire Christ. I mean, I've had two candidates for that matter. Okay. You try him in the morning.
Right.
But the Kennedy one, try him. Tell him you want to see him. It's a matter of the utmost importance that he's got to get this man job.
I'll get him.
Tell him he doesn't have a family or anything. His wife had lived in Brussels for a year.
I'll get him protected.
And on that idea, member of the kingdom, we want to upgrade the job, member of the cabinet.
Absolutely.
Ex officio of the SNSC, fair enough?
Absolutely.
Let me put it this way. With him, you could say, whenever you are in Washington, you're going to see meetings.
Exactly.
Put it that way.
Exactly.
Whenever you're here.
You'll be at any NSC meeting that concerns NATO,
right.
Plus at any NSC meeting when he's in Washington.
That's right. Now, the cabinet, he's an ex-officio, he continues to be counselor to the president, member of the cabinet.
Right. Right.
Now, what's the latest on that?
Well, we had a message from Chu, to whom from Bunker. I told him to let Chu know I was going to see them on the 20th. And Chu said he didn't think they would do much now because they are so weak. They probably want to restore their morale and their forces, and they probably are encouraged by China's admission to the UN. Just giving you cues to you before this thing. Now, my suggestion is, Mr. President, that we send them a message, which is very cool, just for the record.
Sure.
On October 11th, we made this proposal. On October 20th, you said that we proposed November 1st. You came back and said November 20th. We accepted November 20th.
Yeah.
Now we regret that lead lactose illness makes it impossible. We are prepared to talk with a personality from Hanoi for a speedy and just end of the war.
Yeah. I want you to put it in this one, French language. A meeting with Lan Hui would serve no purpose. It would serve no purpose. At this point, the president has directed that I should meet only with Li Dangto or some other leader who has authority to act for the purpose of settling the war. And we will be glad to meet at any time. However, time is of the essence. Time is running out for negotiations. I think you should put that in there. Time is running out for negotiations. So, and if we do not hear, if we have no response to this message, we can only assume that you do not want to negotiate. Now, then, on the meeting next week, I'd like to have additional instructions to go to Porter to meet Danco this week. If he doesn't speak first, they should walk out, or just say, well, if you haven't added anything new, I have nothing to say.
Good.
I think he says, I just have nothing to say. And I think he should open the meeting that way. Don't make his standard boilerplate speech once more at all. He's tomorrow. His instructions to go, and there's no appeal from this. He's to go to say, if he's to open up, he says, I have the opening remarks. I presented what you have to offer. And then to see what they have to offer. I stand on what I said previously and so forth. If they open with a tirade, he says, well, I'm sorry, it doesn't add anything to what you said. It's obvious you want to go ahead. When you've got some more to talk, we will. And the following week,
no
meeting. He does no meeting. That's right.
Good.
I suppose Rogers and Blair, those
Rogers. I can tell Rogers what happened.
No, I don't. I want you to tell Rogers this.
That they asked.
Don't let Rogers think.
That it's off.
No. Don't let Rogers think that it's ruse. Just say that you just got a message that Lee Dangto is sick and will not be there. And that I said you should not go unless he is there.
Right.
Get my point. Let Rogers think that the negotiation track is still open and that there's other. But take this line from Porter.
Right.
You get my point? I don't want Rogers to think that, because Rogers are then go over and say, oh, well, that's what I thought. They don't want it. Because you can just say, lead our toes sick. I think you're not going to go because I said there would be no use, sir, to skip it and sense this. How's that sound?
Excellent. I think that's...
I like the idea of Christmas and Thomasville at this point.
Right.
Now, the other thing is, I think we ought to perhaps consider one of those bombing grounds now.
I do too.
Right now.
I'm going to ask you.
I want more. I don't know whether it'll be the 3 day. I think a 1 day shot at this point, next week, might be very much in order. What if not? Let's just think one moment about it. Discuss tomorrow or the next day. What the hell harm does it do? If there is a buildup, and if we got to, I don't want them to think, well, they can pull this goddamn illness gag and keep the landing on this thing. I want them to know there's a man that's behind all what we're doing here.
I think, frankly, that the real reason is they...
I don't believe in the business about other channels.
No,
that is, they are off balance. These bastards are off balance.
That's the real reason.
And they may be waiting. They may be waiting for the Congress to destroy us.
Well, this is the point, Mr. President.
And if the Congress
after all, they know the continuing resolution is only till February, December 1st or December 15th. I think that two major factors are that the foreign aid cutoff gives them the hope that the security systems will be cut. The second is that your announcement threw them way off balance.
You sent a message to them, and so they can respond to that without the ambassador.